I said, Lord, I really don't like to be talking about this. And he gave me an answer that I'm going to tell you what he said. You don't have to know that. I didn't like the answer either. But he's the boss. And who am I to contend with my boss? I don't want to get fired by Jesus from ministry. Having said all this to say, some insight was given to me that I want to pass to you. Let's start with John 10:10. On the New King James Bible, will be nice to start with. John 10:10. And I want you to follow the line of thought here, because it is very, very important to you understand what I'm trying to say today. The title of our message today is Adversity Can Be a Symbol of a Curse. Adversity can be a symbol of a curse. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. There is someone that is the opposite of Jesus, and the Bible calls him the thief, which means to be the devil. We are together so far, right? One of the greatest weapons that the devil has in achieving those three things, stealing, killing, and destroy your health, your joy, your prosperity, and your blessings, is through lies. I'll say it again. The greatest weapon that the devil has to carry on his scheme of stealing, killing, and destroying your health, your finances, your marriage, your happiness is through lies. When we go back to John 8:44, it explains it to us. Lie in itself is a curse. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now he starts describing that punk. He was a murderer from the beginning. And get this, and it does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Which tells me that the greatest weapon the devil has to carry on his plans of killing, stealing, and destroying is through lies. You know, my mother was very tough when this thing come to lies. When we got a little understanding, she said, if you ever lie to me, the first time I'm going to wash your mouth with soap. And it's not those days there was no liquid soap. There were bars. You all remember that, right? And one day, I made a mistake because I was afraid of getting beat up, and I lied. Seems like she knew that I was lying. And I was, how did she know that? And so, lo and behold, she came and rubbed soap in my mouth. So I was almost like Angelina Jolie. That wasn't enough until she said, next time you do, I'm going to rub red pepper on your lips. And that kept me from lying for about 5 years. One day, we were in a really, really, really bad shape. So I lied again. And she was looking at me. Are you lying? No. She found out 3 days later that I was. Some people would say it was a white lie. There is no such a thing like white lie, black lie, green lie, purple lie, yellow lie. Lie is a lie. I didn't go to school because I went to work to try to cover up for a mess that I did the day before. When I walk home, I had no homework. And then she asked me, don't you have homework? Said, no. How come? Well, I did so good in class, the teacher didn't give me homework. She said, are you lying? No. And then it happens, always happens. She goes to town 3 days later on the end of the day, and she meets my teacher. Well, I'm very proud of my boy. She said, you sure? He missed class 3 days ago. I come home, and she asked me, so, how was the class 3 days ago? Oh, it was good. What did you guys study about? Now I have to think about something to say. And she went outside. By this time, I'm already shaking. She walks in with a red pepper. If the neighbors wouldn't intervene, it wouldn't be like Angelina Jolie. It would be like a chipmunk, you know, because my lips were burned up and swollen for 3 days. She said, next time it's going to be twice harder than this. So finally, when things settled down, Nabal cussed her out. They almost beat each other because of this. Nabal said, this is cruelty. Mother said, a liar is a thief. Jesus says that he, the devil, have no truth on him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. There is no other way that the devil could use to achieve the process of killing, stealing, and destroying the joy, the peace, the love, the health, and the finances of the church unless he lies. Are we still together here? Throughout the ages, the devil was able to manage a way to get inside the Western church and tell the Western church to abandon the Old Testament. Well, we are under grace. We don't need to observe not that that stuff. That is a lie. Let me show you something here. Brother Harry, can you kindly give me Deuteronomy 29:9? I want you to pay attention to this. I think we're going to go a few verses in there. Listen to this. I want you to listen carefully to this thing here. Deuteronomy 29:9. Therefore, what you must do? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Oh, this is the Old Testament. Yeah. And so what? You quote Psalm 23, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. That's the Old Testament. You shouldn't quote them. When you're going through a tough time, the Lord is my refuge and my strength. Isn't that right? That's the Old Testament too. When your spouse is mooching around, oh, you're not supposed to do this because the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I got bad news to you. You're not supposed to say that because that's Old Testament too. Thou shalt not kill. That's Old Testament too. Child, you better obey me because the Bible says you shall obey your parents and you're going to go well. That's Old Testament too. But the devil lied to the church and told the church, you don't have to observe that stuff. That's Old Testament thing. And we are saved by grace. We have been saved by grace. We are saved by grace. We will continue to be saved by grace. And that will never change. Actually, grace leads me to keep these things here. Why? Number one, when I keep the word of God, it promised me that I'm going to be prosper in all that I do. Are we together so far? Tell your neighbor, if you want to prosper in all that you do, keep God's word. Plain and simple. Now, I like the way that the New Living Translation, it's a little crazy, but I like the way that they put it. Watch this. Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant. Why? Isn't that something? Now watch the Message Bible. Put it in the backslide of the translation. Watch this. Diligently keep the words of this covenant. And then? Why? Isn't that something? The devil has managed to lie to the church to say that we don't need to do this. Oh, that's Old Testament. Then tear your Bible in half. Walk on with half of it. Let me go a little bit further. Let's go to verse 12, brother. Let me go back to the New King James. 29:12. Just scroll down. When I do this, I will not only prosper, but also that you may enter a covenant with the Lord your God. Come on, third graders. That you may It's just like a marriage agreement. If you keep the word of God, you come into a covenant. It is the same thing as marriage covenant. It's a sacred ceremony. It's a marriage between you and God. Now, the New Living Translation makes it easy for you to understand. Watch this. You are standing here today to enter into the covenant of the Lord your God. The beauty about this is when a man establishes a covenant, a man can break the covenant. Isn't that right? How many times have you seen a man get into a covenant of marriage with a woman, and then a few years later she picks up a little bit, you know, some 50, 100 pounds, and he traded her for a younger one? Or vice versa. Men will break covenant. This one here is the Lord making a covenant. And he will not break his covenant. The thing is that in a covenant, it's good stuff and it's also bad stuff. What are you talking about? When you were dating to your spouse, they were so sweet. They're right? So nice. Remember when the brother will come and open the door for you to get into the car? Huh? And he picked up the phone. Hi, sweetie. I was working. Just thought about you. You remember that, right? And then he looked at you and lied from his teeth. You're the most beautiful woman in the planet. You remember that, right? 20 years old. What's wrong with you? Tell me what's wrong. And see, this thing is getting big around here. Isn't that right? Oh, you better take care of this hair. You look like you see a ghost. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's not only the men. The women, too. They woke up in the morning, you're disgusting. There was a sister that came here with her husband for counseling. And they said, Pastor, talk to this woman. I'm about to beat her up. Said, whoa, slow down. What is the problem? She looked at me this morning and said, you look at this. You're disgusting. You know, I just woke up. What's the problem? You snore like a bear. Men will break covenant. And when you get into a covenant, you never realize that that handsome fellow you marry will snore like a bear. Huh? You never. And some sisters don't stay behind either. I'm serious. I was in a home one day that everybody fall to sleep. All the utensils were shaking on the top of the what do you call the thing, Bahamari? The counter. The whole thing, it's shaking because I couldn't sleep that night. I gave God thanks that I got to go. That's one of the curses that you're not counting when you get into marriage covenant. But when you come to God, it's quite different. Listen to verse 13. Let's get verse 13 over there. by entering into the covenant today, he will establish you as his people and confirm that he is your God. When you keep obeying the word of God, you become established as God's people. Are we still together here? And God will confirm that you are his people. And some of you will start having different experiences. You're going to go to a supermarket or a convenience store or any store. You're going to look at somebody and God is going to give you revelation about that person's life. When that happens, God wants you to minister to that person. You don't have to tell people that you're godly. They will see it in you. I have a hard time when preachers calling here telling me how godly they are. I don't want you here. Let your deeds speak louder than your words, because talk is cheap. Amen. When we enter into a covenant to obey the word of God, he will establish us as his people. And he will confirm it, just as he promised you, and as he swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now listen to the next two verses. Let's go to 14. What does it got to do with curse? I want you to stay with me. But you are not the only ones with whom I am making this covenant with its curses. You're not the only one. Who else? Let's go to the next verse. I am making this covenant both with you who stand here today in the presence of the Lord our God, and also with future generations who are not standing here today. So that covenant that God made with Israel is good for you and I today. It says in there, future generations who are not standing in here today. Now the devil, being the father of lie, managed to trick the church into thinking that we don't have to observe the Old Testament. I mean, you don't have to do none of that stuff. That's for the old folks, not for us. They lie. He lied because it says that God was making the covenant not only with Israel, but also with future generations that were not standing in there. Are we still together here? Yes. Brother, jump up to verse 17 real quick. I'm not going to spend much time, but I want to show you something before I talk. You have seen their detestable practice and their idols made of wood, silver, and gold. Wow. People moved away from God when they had an idol that could be made of any one of those four things. Now listen to verse 18. This is what I want to get you. I am making this covenant with you so that no one among you, is that right? No man, woman, clan or tribe will turn away from the Lord our God to do what? Worship these gods of other nations. And so that no root among you bears bitters and poisonous fruit. There's three things here I want to show you. When we choose not to obey the covenant, when we choose to stay outside the covenant, there are three things that will happen. It will lead to a false god. Because you were made, you were created to crave God. And when God is not there, you will fill the void with something else. And that's when the idol comes in. When somebody has money as their god, you're going to find these people having a hard time coming to church because they have work, 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 and then they got work. And on their rest day, they are working. Their brain can't stop. They are sleeping, but the brain is running. How to make more money? Why? Because that thing has taken the place of God. Well, I don't have that problem. But when people have a television as their idol, here he goes again. Leave the television alone. If it bothers you, then it is your idol. If it doesn't bother you, it's okay. It could be money, could be television. Why are you so against television? Because somebody is telling you their vision of life. You should be getting your vision of life from the book. Because God made a covenant with you. When the people fail to keep the covenant, there's going to be bitterness and poisonous fruit among the people. Isn't that something? Did you know that bitterness is the second greatest cause of cancer among Bible-believing people? Bitterness. If somebody comes in here to be prayed for and the person has cancer, first thing I would do, we're going to go through this bitterness stuff. And then we go through unforgiveness or vice versa. Now listen to verse 19. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves, thinking, I'm safe. Even though I'm following the desires of my own stubborn heart, this would lead to utter ruin. Now listen to verse 20. The Lord will never pardon such people. Ouch. Instead, his anger and jealousy will be burned against them. Here comes. All the curses written in this book will come down on them. And the Lord will. Ouch. When people deliberately, willingly decide to ignore the word of God, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, they are calling for curses to come upon their lives. What are you talking about? Well, the Bible says that you should not marry your first cousin. You shouldn't marry your second cousin. You shouldn't marry your cousin, period. Are we together here? But they don't know that because their preacher told them that the Old Testament is something of the past. Are you with me here? Then when they marry, do they marry their cousin? They're going to have a Mongol children, Mongoloid children, or children with mental disturbance. And if it's too close, it may be burned blind, deaf, dumb, or with some kind of disease. And why is that? There is a curse. The book says, don't marry your cousin. And it says, and I want you to pay attention, because some people are so dumb that they will live here and say, preacher is saying that if we don't do the Old Testament, God's going to kick us in hell. I didn't say that. Yes. You say that God is going to take our name from heaven. I didn't say that either. Neither did God. It says that he will erase their name from under heaven. And what that means, you may make to heaven, or banged up you may make to heaven. But your name will disappear from under the heaven, or from the earth, which means you're going to die early. Verse 21. The Lord will separate them from all the tribe of Israel to pour out on them all the curses of the covenant recorded in this book of instruction. Somebody says, preacher, now you got me lost. Now I'm really messed up because I can't make anything out of what you're saying. Here's the deal. According to Proverbs chapter 26, I've been showing this thing to you time and over again. Verse 2. The New King James put it better than anybody else. Proverbs 26:2 tells you and I, like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse. Okay, third graders, let's do this again. Like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse. A curse without a cause shall not alight on your life. Are we together here? A curse without a reason cannot take off. If the witchcraft guy down the street don't like When we are worshiping here and he tells me, I'm going to curse you, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Because every time you curse me, the Bible says, my God is going to convert that into blessings. Amen. Every time somebody's cursing us without a cause, God will convert those curses into blessings. So curse me as much as you want. I ain't afraid of your curse. But it says in here, without a cause. When the people decide, when the people resolve in their hearts that they will ignore the word of God because some honky-funky preacher told him that the Old Testament is not to be observed, you're calling a curse upon your life. Why would God give us the whole Bible when he wants us to obey only half of it? Come on. So what you're saying, preacher? Brother, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's try verse chapter 26, verse 13. You say, well, now I'm still confused. What you're trying to say? What I'm trying to say to you today is this. The devil has managed to lie to many preachers out there into telling their people that you don't have to worry about what is written on the Old Testament because that's on the Old Testament. If that's your way of thinking, great. God bless you. Cut your Bible in half. And I don't want to hear you quoting Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Isaiah 53. Forget about that. It's the Old Testament. So the devil has managed to tell people, you don't have to worry about that stuff because that's the Old Testament. Then somebody that is dumb enough will say, well, if that's the case, I'm going to bring a sheep for you to offer as a sacrifice for me. I'll bring it up, I'll take the sheep, and I'll pray for you. You have to be wise to understand that certain things has been fulfilled. And if it has been fulfilled, you don't have to do it again. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slaughtered in your place so that you and I may be healed, may be saved, may be prosperous. So that's part of the law that we don't have to carry on because that is already taken care of. And this is a matter for a new study. You know, when it comes to the instructions of the book, there are three types of law. There are the ceremonial laws. Those are the laws that will take care of sins, forgiveness, and all that kind of stuff. There are the civical laws that has to do with the state of Israel, which does not pertain to us. But if we would implant that law in here, we would be prosperous. That's how this country came to what it got. So the ceremonial law is taken care of by Jesus. The civic laws is working for Israel and will work for any country who adopt. What is the other law? It's the commonwealth law. It's the other law that will help you to stay healthy, that will help you to prosper, that will help you to be out of a cuckoo house, Stella Maris and every garbage in between, monocare and whatnot. We're still together here, right? Listen to this. When we go to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 13. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Well, because people don't want to be, usually this is stingy people. People that are stingy with money. They don't want to give their tithe. They don't want to read the Old Testament. Uh-oh. I knew he would have come to money, like every preacher. You know, if you would have been on the days of the apostle, and you come in saying that you bring the tithe, and you didn't, we could just stand at the door and let somebody carry your carcass to the cemetery. We don't do this here. I don't even pray. I don't even preach about tithe. You know why? Because I don't need your help. I need God's help. When it comes to finance, God will take care of me. God will take care of you. God will take care of our family. God will take care of every faithful person. And I don't mean to be presumptuous here. I'm not insulting anybody here. But people who are stingy with money, they are cursed. Listen to this. I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. Now you complain about 10%. No, not you. I mean the church down the street. Complain about 10% of your wage. God told him here, bring the tithe to the church, then take another 10% to give to the Levite, then take another 10% to give to the stranger. What? And take another 10% for the fatherless. That's 40%. Yeah. Say what? You mean to tell them that I'm going to work, make a dollar, and I have to give 40 cents away? You're already doing that. The politicians are taking it. Not the Democrats. The politicians are taking it from us. So it's already going. The bad thing is, it's going to the Kool-Aid drinkers. Folks, there is a curse with people that are stingy with money. Now, verse 14 gets even better. Watch this. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. What are you talking about? There is going to be a time that you're going to be mourning before God when you're supposed to be fasting and praying. But people don't know that because they don't read the book. They read only the New Covenant and the things that they like. The devil lied to some preachers 200 or 300 years ago. You don't have to be worried about this stuff. You're being lied to. There's going to be a time in your life that you're going to be mourning, that you're going to be, your spirit will be craving not for food, but for fast. Your spirit wants to connect with God. Put the food away. What about my tithe? Put it away too. So when you come to church, you can bring it. But forget about the money. He goes on. Nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use. What is due to God, I have not used it in an unclean use. Oh, we don't do this. Oh, yes, you do. Not you. I mean, the church out there down the street. When you take some of your pay to pay for cable, why are you going to be watching pornography? Is pornography clean? I rest my case. I have not also given any of it for the dead. Say, what? We don't do that anymore. Put in the New King James. Let me show them something here. Watch this. Is this? Okay. Give me the New Living Translation then. I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not handled it while I was ceremonially unclean. I have not offered any of it to the dead. We don't offer things to the dead. Now be honest, how many times somebody died and then a year later they had a ceremony to remember the dead and they had a service and you went to take part of it? Who never did that here? I'm not asking who did, I'm asking who never did. We do not go to service to remember the dead. Why? They're dead. Duh. Oh, they were family. And so what? By going to a service in memory of the dead, are you going to bring them back? If you do, let's get all dead people back here. Especially those in hell. But because people don't read the Word of God, even people going to church and they are leaders, they are doing this nonsense. Taking part in a service to remember the dead. You know, one of the things I hate most in my life is what they call memorial service. On the day that I die, I don't want a memorial service. Well, I'm going to jump off of the grave, come and beat you all up and go back. I don't want no memorial service. I'm dead. So don't spend the money God give you on electricity, air conditioning, your transportation, your time to come here. Oh, Brother Paul was such a great. I don't need that. I'm dead. You know, this is one of the most ridiculous things people does. The family member is alive. And they are sleeping in a homeless shelter. When they die, the family will hire a Cadillac limousine and the best funeral home in town. Why? Oh, this was a family member. We got to honor them. I don't want you to do that for me. You want to spend money on me? Do it while I'm alive. So I can enjoy it. I'm dead. I don't care how I get to the grave. I don't. I'm dead. Are we together here? But people will offer some of their money to the dead. Not like they give money to the dead, but they waste their money. Say, man, you're just messing up things. So you say we cannot go to memorial service? You can do whatever you want. But anytime that you're using resources to celebrate the dead, you're infringing on that commandment over there. He goes on to say, I have obeyed the Lord my God and have done everything you commanded me. Is that it? No, it's not. Let's get a little bit quicker. 15. Now look down from your holy dwelling place. I have obeyed you in heaven, and bless your people, Israel, and the land you swore to our ancestors, and give us a land flowing with milk and honey. So if there is any pro-Palestinian here, get your act together. Say what? If there is any pro-Palestinian here, get your act together. It says in there, I'm not going to give Israel to the Palestinian because there isn't a nation called Palestine. Bless your people, Israel, and the land God, not the British people, swore to our ancestors to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. So pro-Palestinian, wake up. 16. Today the Lord your God has commanded you to obey how many?
All.
And? So? If you're going to obey it, do it with your whole heart. Oh, great. Now I have to read to the Old Testament and do it because the preacher is speaking on me. Well, I'm not. I'm just teaching you how to be prosperous, how to be healthy, how to be wealthy, how to live a good life. The book says in here, if you obey wholeheartedly, there's a recompense for that. Let's go to verse 17. Watch this. You have declared today that the Lord is your God. Is that right? How many of you here have the Lord as your God? So we all do, right? And you have promised to walk in His way. How many of us have promised to walk in God's ways? Praise God. Then he goes, to obey His decrees, commands, and regulations, and to do everything He tells you, not only what the New Testament says. Verse 18. The Lord has declared today that you are, maybe you should tell them, you are God's people. Come on, say like you mean it. You are God's people. There's no way around this. Amen? You are God's people. You are His own, this special. Folks, get this here. If you have in your home a treasure with $1 million and somebody comes and try to take it, what are you going to do? You're going to fight before you call the cops, right? When you can't overpower, then you call the cops. Is that right? Now, if we do this with things, the Bible says here that you and I are His own special treasure. If the devil come to try to steal us or our joy or our finances, He's looking for trouble. The problem is that we've been lied to. And that you must obey all his command. Verse 19 is really interesting. Watch this. And if you do, if you obey everything that God will do, tell you to do, what will happen? Tell your neighbor, you're supposed to be ahead. You are ahead. Not a tail. Then you will receive praise, honor, and renown. You'll be a nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as he promises. And you say, well, I thought you said you're going to talk about a diversity. I had to get you instructed before I talk about a diversity so that you're not going to leave here depressed this morning. Does the Bible speak about a diversity? Yes, it does. Another way to describe a life under a curse is the word adversity. And I was looking in the dictionary. The word adversity, both in Greek and Hebrew, and even in today's English, includes some of these things here. Listen to this. Adverse circumstances. Misfortune, continual struggle, difficult, hard life, hardship, groaning, travail, bad times, ups and downs, bitter cup, bitter pill, and setback. It also carries on with it slump. Recession, and get this, depression, distress, want, need, and in today's English it says bad luck. I don't believe in luck. No bad luck, no good luck, no luck, ill luck. I don't believe in none of that. But it's all included in today's English. Rotten hand, mishap, misadventure, and get this, calamity, catastrophe, constant losing, ill-fated, unblessed, poor, wretched, miserable, undone, unhappy. This one just shook me up. Under a cloud. Accident prone, from bad to worse. All this is calamity? Yes. I'm putting together all that the Hebrew and the Greek says. I could give you one or two more, but I'm going to stop. Throughout the ages, people have come up with different lines to describe a curse. Now, in God's word, Deuteronomy 28:20, it speaks about this. Deuteronomy 28:20, listen to this. The Lord himself will send on you curses. Now, listen to what God is saying a curse is. Number one, confusion. Isn't that right? Frustration in everything you do. Now, this is hefty. Because when people get confused, they are dumped in a hospital, on a nursing home, and they say he or she has dementia or Alzheimer's. Isn't that right? Frustration in everything that you do. Give me the Message Bible here, brother. God will send the curse. What's the first one? Confusion. The contrariness down on everything you try to do. When somebody's under a curse, have you ever heard said, you know, I'm about to give up. Everything I try, nothing works. Have you heard people say that? That's a sign somebody's under a curse. Reading from Hebrew, the Torah, which is the five first book on the Old Testament, have a variation note that says calamity, panic, frustration. And when you go to the Berkeley translation of the Bible, he translates, in each enterprise to which you put your hand, you fail. I want to emphasize the word frustration that we have already been seen, which was on the New Living Translation. The definition of frustration is to induce feelings of discouragement, to make it ineffectual. To make vain or ineffectual all efforts, however vigorous or persistent one may be. And in other words, no matter how hard you and I can try, the efforts will never pay off. And the result of that is discouragement. And one of us looking in the dictionary, frustration has a synonymous. It's the word baffle, which means to frustrate by confusing or puzzling. Ouch. Let's go back to the New Living Translation. Listen to this. The Lord Himself will send on you curses of confusion and frustration on everything that you do. It's like a puzzle one can't figure out. And it will lead into frustration, trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. And I know that we don't have this kind of problem in our congregation. I'm talking about the church down the street. Amen? So, preach what you're saying. God is saying something very interesting here. Hallelujahs. He doesn't want you to hear that. So just pay attention to what God is saying. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28:29. Let's read it. You will grope around in broad daylight like a blind person groping in the darkness, but you'll not find your way. Get this. You will be. I know a sister that has been robbed last year 12 times. 12 times. I said, sis, it's time for you to wake up and find out what is the reason of the curse. Now, the Message Bible make it a little crazy, but it's worthwhile reading it. Watch this. You grope around in the middle of the day like a blind person, feeling his way through a lifetime of darkness. You never get where you're going. Not a day will go by that you're not. And no one is going to help you. And did you know that one of the greatest problems among the new generation today, one of the greatest reasons they don't want to go to church is because they have been abused by their own families and by their own leaders. What is this? It's a curse. When looking at the word grope, the word grope means to look for something blindly or uncertainly. A person under a curse is always looking for success but never can find it. The Jerusalem Bible translates this way: "And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways." Just like saying your step will lead to nowhere. The complete Bible American translation puts it this way: "And shall not make a success of your life." The New English Bible, it's called NEB, put it this way: "You will be oppressed and robbed day in and day out." In other words, the devil is able to steal all of your blessings when you are under a curse. I don't like this, preacher. I know. Neither do I. Deuteronomy 28:45 puts it a little bit crazier. Watch this. Let's go to keep it here for now. All these curses are going to come on you. They are going to hunt you down and get you until there's nothing left of you because you wow. Maybe we all should read it together. "And all these curses are going to come on you. They are going to hunt you down and get you until there's nothing left of you because you didn't obediently listen to the voice of your God, and diligently keep his commandments and guidelines that I commanded you." So when somebody tells you that you're not supposed to look to the Old Testament, the devil is enforcing his lie so he can steal your blessings. Is anybody listening to me this morning? The New Living Translation makes it interesting. Let's go to the New Living Translation. "If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commandments and decree he has given you, you know, here's how curses operate, folks. They will come upon a person. They will pursue that person, and they will overtake that person. Are we still together? To come upon means when the curse shows up, people's first reaction is to try to get away from it. They try to escape and flee from it. They do everything in their power to dodge it and to shake it off. Some people, you go from one country to another. And when they get to the new country, a few years later, just to find out that everything is going back the same way it was before. Why am I telling you this? It's not to scare you. I want you to be mature here. If there is any of these symptoms in your life, it's time to break the curse. When I was working in the city, some people got really upset with me, and that's all right. Because I told them, shame on you. We live in a nation that people out there are fighting to get into. And you are in welfare. Why? There is a curse upon you. What curse is it? That curse that refuses to obey the word of God. It all boils down to one simple thing, folks. If you obey the word of God, God's going to set you high above all the nations. Is that what he says? When we disobey the word of God, curses is going to hunt you down. I mean, there's no halfway here. I either believe and obey, why get beat up day in and day out. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and I'm going to wrap up. Brother Harry, can you put up there Deuteronomy 28:52? Curses will pursue you. No matter where a person turns to, the curse will chase. Pursue means to follow. No matter which country somebody can go, the curse will come along. And when the curse does overtake the person, or when the person is overtaken by curse, the devil then work out his intention, which is to destroy the people of God. Over here it says, they will attack your cities until all fortified walls in your land, the walls you trusted to protect you, are knocked down. They will attack all your towns in the land the Lord your God has given you. Man, what kind of preaching is this? A person under a curse is a person under siege. No matter where that person turns to and hide, the enemy comes and lays siege. Did you know that the walls of a city in the old days were built for protection, to keep the enemy out? Did you know that? To besiege means to surround with armed forces. This is when demons will come and try to enforce all the evil schemes. Everything a person trusts in for protection will fall under the siege of a curse. Some people trust money, some education, some friends, and so on. It makes no difference. No difference. Every wall will come down when one is under a siege. Proverbs 25:28 goes even a step further. Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. So what are you talking about here, preacher? Life under a curse can become so frustrating that a person will lose self-control. And when you lose self-control, it's just like a city with broken down walls. What that means? A city without walls is open for invasion. The enemy is able to come in and destroy. Frustration then leads to depression, which brings along anger and rage, and end up in discouragement. The preacher, I don't like this message today. We're wrapping up today with Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 13. I'm not trying to scare you into obeying God's word. Did you get that? I'm showing you what the book says so that you can prosper in the United States of America. There's no reason for church people to be cuckoo. There's no reason for church people to be suffering from depression. There's no reason for church people to be under siege, living in poverty, living in misery. If that's the case, let's break the curse. Why? Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. But when we refuse to obey the law, the devil enforces the curse. Is anybody understanding what I'm trying to say this morning here? I am by no means discouraging you. I am opening your eyes to understand that those words given by God has a meaning to keep you happy, to keep you prosperous in everything that you do, to make you head and not tail. Why? Because God has got into a marriage covenant with you and established you as His people and confirmed that you are His people. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took up upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. God doesn't want you to be cursed. God wants you to be happy. That's why he provided Jesus. Amen. Stand on your feet. I want you to pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to carry on every and any curse upon my life and the life of my descendants as a result of stubbornness, refusing to obey your word, whether it's the old or new covenant. I renounce the spirit of rebelliousness, the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of stubbornness that caused me to ignore your word or part of it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I divorce right now every curse trying to attach itself to my body. I am a child of God. I am a special treasure to God. And now that I got the knowledge, I will obey your word. I will follow your statutes. Not to be saved, but to be blessed, to be healthy, to be prosperous. In the name of Jesus. I renounce every sickness and disease. I renounce every mental illness on my family bloodline. I renounce the spirit of confusion and frustration. In the name of Jesus, I renounce adversity in my life and in the life of my descendants. Lord, I renew the covenant with you. From this point forth, I promise you, I will do all within my power to obey your word right now. In the name of Jesus. From this point forth, I will treasure your word. All of it. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, when I despised and rejected some books of the Bible. I didn't know better. Forgive me, Lord. I repent. In the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet. The Lord is healing right now. The Lord is healing right now. There is a tumor on somebody's back within your intestine, right on the top of your butt, on the back. The Lord is healing that tumor right now. It's disappearing right now.
Thank you, Lord.
It's disappearing right
Thank
now.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Right now.
Thank you.
I see an angel putting together some veins on the back of your eyes.
Hallelujah.
Some fine, fine lines. He's just putting everything back together.
Thank you, God.
And then he's cleaning the eyeball. Like he was putting a little glossy thing on your eyes. Which means somebody's going to have vision restored here.
Amen.
One of you has a family member that's far away. would not talk to you, don't want to hear about you, get ready because a phone call is going to take place within the next 7 days. I see that person weeping and picking up a phone to call you. I see an angel cleaning up a way, a path. The path had so much thorns and bushes, and the angel is just cleaning up the path, and it's becoming clear. Say with me, Lord God,
I'm
ready for my blessing.
I'm
ready to obey.
And
I'm ready to follow instructions.
I'm ready to take my position
as a child of the King,
as head,
not tail.
I'm ready for the
promotion
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe
seated.